Let's turn our attention now to language and talk first of all that the various modes that language comes in. All languages, with the exception of sign languages, are spoken. In other words, if you look at any one of the thousands of languages that exist in the world, they all exist in spoken form. However, only a relatively small subset of those languages will exist in written form. In other words, literacy is a feature of only a small subset of all the languages in the world. Now, signed languages are also a mode. In the United States, for instance, deaf people commonly speak what is known as ASL or American Sign Language, and it's an entirely gestured language. Now, there's a common misconception that signed languages are simply, in the case of ASL, for instance, gestured versions of English, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Sign languages have a key defining characteristic of language, namely they have a grammar. Now, I'll talk more in the next slide about grammar, but basically what I'm saying is that sign languages are real languages because they have structure. And if you look at the structure of American Sign Language versus, say, English, they're completely different linguistically. Now, if you notice next to speech and writing, I have in question marks that speech is primary and writing is secondary. Now, you will hear many linguists make this distinction, and basically what they're saying is that because all languages are spoken, the spoken form of a language would be the primary form of a language. And because only a small subset of languages are written, the written forms would be considered secondary. Now, some linguists have questioned this dichotomy, mainly because primary seems to suggest that speech is better than writing. Secondary gives writing almost a kind of second-class status. A lot of linguists are more comfortable with saying that speech and writing are used for different purposes. So it's not that speech is primary, it's just that speech is better at doing some things than writing. For instance, if you want to have a casual, intimate conversation with someone, the best way to do that is through speech. I mean, you could write that person a letter, but that just wouldn't achieve the immediacy that speech in that context would achieve. Now, there are certain things, as I discuss in the chapter, that writing is better for. For instance, a contract. If you want a permanent written record of an agreement you've made with someone, it's better to have it in writing. So, again, what I'm saying is that rather than saying that speech is primary and writing secondary, it's probably better to look at them as having complementary functions rather than saying that one might be better than the other, as these two terms suggest. Now, systems of writing come in three basic forms. English and many languages are alphabetic, because the individual letters, called graphemes, correspond roughly to sound. So if I have a word like cat, the C is the cuh sound, the A is the ah sound, and the T is the tuh sound. Now later in the book I'll talk more about the phonetic alphabet, which is different from the English alphabet, because the English alphabet does not have a one-to-one correspondence between how something is spelled and how it's pronounced. But because the graphemes correspond to sound, the system is considered alphabetic. Now, in a syllabic alphabet, rather than single graphemes corresponding to sounds, you have syllables corresponding to sounds. Japanese uses a syllabic alphabet because Japanese is quite conducive to symbols designating syllables, because Japanese is sort of consonant, vowel, so the symbols of the syllabary will correspond to those sort of consonant vowel sequences. Finally, you have what are called logographic or sometimes logophonetic alphabets, not alphabets, but writing systems such as Chinese. Now, in Chinese, there are thousands of characters because each character corresponds to a particular meaning. In an alphabet, because you can combine the graphemes to represent sequences of sounds, you don't need as many. That's why the English alphabet has only 26 graphemes, whereas in a logographic alphabet, such as the one used in Chinese, you just need endless symbols because each symbol has to correspond to a particular meaning. So a word such as dog or cat will have a particular character. Next slide.